Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Friday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today, I am concluding a series that I've been doing for 4 weeks. This is the last day of 4 weeks on Christian philosophy. And I tell you, this has been a powerful teaching. I've entitled this Christian Philosophy 1. This used to be the only teaching that we had on Christian philosophy, but I am coming up with a new teaching that I've entitled Christian Philosophy 2, which is going to be talking about the way you should think about social issues such as divorce and remarriage, homosexuality, abortion, and things like this. And so that's going to be starting next Monday, but the first part, the first six teachings that's in this album, is talking about the way you think, how important that is, and how you have to believe that the Word of God is truly the Word of God. It's absolute. It's infallible. How you have to make Jesus your Lord. How you have to have relationship with God and understand the goodness of God. And this last thing that we've been talking about is just that God is a good God. To me, this is a philosophy, a way of thinking that a Christian should have that just overrules everything else. Because, you know, we have a lot of negative things happen in our life. There's people that die. I just lost my mother not long ago. And, you know, there's tragedy that comes into every single person's life. And, you know, there's just bad things that happen to us. And if you aren't careful, you will look at circumstances and assume that if God is God, He could have stopped this. He could have made it differently. Why do things happen the way they do? And we just assume that God is responsible. But man, the Scriptures, if you study them, make it very clear that when God created the heavens and the earth, everything was perfect. It was all good. And He told us not to violate this. He told us not to eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because in the day that we did, we would die. And we rejected His instructions and we started doing things our own way. Not only Adam and Eve, but every one of us have leaned unto our own understanding. And we are the ones, not just individually, but collectively as mankind, we have released Satan on this earth. Satan is the one who goes about seeking whom he may devour. He's the one that steals, kills, and destroys. God is not the source of the tragedy in these things going around. Now, there are some instances in the Bible where God smote people with things and did things, but I've explained that in this series and talked about how that was under an old covenant. There was a time that had to be done, but Jesus took our sins and our punishment from God, and now God is not smiting people. He's not causing tragedies in our life. God is a good God. And I tell you, you have to believe this. It's not something that you just believe without any basis. The Word of God is full of all kinds of proof that God is a good God. The ultimate one is that Jesus came to this earth and suffered not only on the cross, but suffered the entire 33 years that He was alive on this earth. He suffered being confined to a physical human body when He was God. Solomon said, "The heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, cannot contain you. How much more or less this little temple that I've built for you?" God is infinite. Even the universe couldn't contain Him, and yet He limited Himself to a physical being. He was despised and rejected of men, and ultimately He paid the price for our sins and suffered physically and spiritually and emotionally. But when you understand that, this ought to become just an overriding philosophy that you have, that if God loved you so much that He sent Jesus to die for you, He loves you enough to do anything for you. God is a good God and desires nothing but good for you. Psalms chapter 35, verse 27 says, "Yea, let all who favor my righteous cause say continually, let God be magnified, which has pleasure in the prosperity of His servant." God is pleased when you and I prosper. He is not pleased when we don't prosper. In 3 John chapter 1, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers." God is a good God. He wants you to succeed. God is your best friend. Nobody's pulling for you more than God is. You know, this isn't the message that most people are getting through religion, but it is the message that the Bible teaches. In 1 John chapter 4, let me just use some verses here to try and make this point. In verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." Boy, there is a lot in those verses. There's so much that I'd love to minister on. But let me just point out the last part of this 8th verse. It says, God is love. It doesn't just say that God loves some people or that God has a little bit of love. This is descriptive of who He is. God is a God of love. Praise God for it. You know, if God didn't have this overriding characteristic of being love, we would all be a pile of ashes. The earth would have been destroyed a long time ago. We can see those tendencies. In the 6th chapter of the book of Genesis, the Lord became so put out with man that He came close to destroying all of mankind. And let me just add that He would have been just in doing it. We had rejected Him. We became so vile and so polluted from what God intended us to be that God wouldn't have been unjust to have wiped us all out. He still wouldn't be unjust to do it. But because of His love, He spared Noah and his family. And then through Jesus, He has now made an atonement that because of what Jesus has done, it would be unjust now for God to wipe us out because our debt has been paid. Jesus paid the price of our sins caused. He paid it in full. And now it would be unjust on God's part to bring that judgment upon us. And He swore He'd never do it. But this is the very nature of God. God is love. It says in the next verse, "In this was manifested the love of God." Somebody says, what makes you think God is love? Well, look at this. "This was manifested the love of God towards us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him." God showed us His love through sending Jesus. And you know, I firmly believe that if any of you are just struggling with this and you've got the intellectual knowledge up here that, oh yeah, God is love and that God loves me, but you don't feel it, it's not impacting you, you don't have any joy and peace that comes as a result of this, I am convinced that if you were to just focus on God sending Jesus to this earth, and instead of just hearing these words, if you would take some time and be still and just meditate on this and say, God, what does this really mean? If you could just spend some time thinking about this, it's through thinking about Jesus coming to this earth and becoming the payment for our sins that God's love is revealed to you, is what this is saying. In verse 10, it says, "Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins." Here's another great truth about God that'll help explain His love and His goodness to you. And that is that we didn't love God first. And because we had extended some love towards Him, He loved us in return. No, in a real sense, all of us were God haters, God rejectors. We were doing our own things. As it says over in Romans chapter 5, verse 8, it says, "God commended His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." We were living in our own sin. All of us had gone astray from God and were doing our own thing. So we didn't love God first, and then He responded positively to us. You know, in our relationships with people, you can see this, that sometimes if you will go out of your way and if you'll start giving gifts to people and just trying to be friends with them, that you can win a person over and that they can eventually become friendly with you. But that's not the way it was with God. We didn't pursue Him. God pursued us. He gave His Son while we were yet sinners. And if you would stop and think about that, again, I refer to this verse. I've already used it in Romans chapter 8. It says that He that spared not His own Son, but gave Him freely for us all, how shall He not with Him also freely give us all things? God, if He's already given us His Son, the greatest sacrifice, what makes you think He wouldn't bless you financially, that He wouldn't give you joy and peace, that He wouldn't heal your body? That's inconsistent. If I love you enough that I would die for you, don't you think that if you came and asked me for a little bit of money, I'd give you some money? That if I had the ability to heal you, that I'd get you over your sickness or over your disease? See, if we were to really stop and just think about how much God loves us, like these verses are talking about, your faith would just rise. Galatians chapter 5, verse 6 says, faith works by love. Your faith would just rise. You would begin to start trusting and believing God if you really were to focus on what He's already done for you. That's what these verses are talking about. In verse 11, it says, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And it just goes on and continues to talk about the love of God. Verse 17, herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as He is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. And then the next verse says, we love Him because He first loved us. Again, if you would just take all of these verses and go to thinking about what God has done for us in sending Jesus to this earth and paying for us, and the fact that He took the initiative. He didn't wait until we were somehow or another worthy. In the midst of our unworthiness, He loved us. It was completely separate from any goodness that we deserved. If you would think about this, you know, I just don't know how to get this across. People come to me all the time and I'm telling them about the benefits of having relationship with God and knowing that God loves them, and they'll hear it and they want the benefits, and then they'll come up, would you pray for me? You know, I can't get you to understand the love of God just by prayer. These verses are saying that this is how you perceive the love of God. You look at what He's done. You go to the Word of God. You ought to read the Scriptures where it talks about the crucifixion, and read those verses out of the Gospel and see how Jesus bore this and how Jesus had all power on His side. He says, don't you understand that I could ask my Father and He'd give me more than 12 legions of angels? But He didn't use that authority. He didn't exercise His power. Instead, He stood before Pilate and before Herod and before the scribes and the Pharisees, and He let them mock Him. And He acted like He was just a natural human being, like He didn't have any power. He took insult. They spit in His face. They blindfolded Him and slapped Him on the face and said, prophesy if you're the Christ. Tell us who it is that did this. He took all of those insults and all of these things because He loved you and He loved me. You go back and you read things like this and you see God's love. You see how He treated people in mercy. You look at these things, and if that doesn't reveal God's love to you, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood is wet. I can tell you, if you go back and think about how much God loved you, and if this doesn't help you to understand that God is a good God, and if it doesn't build your relationship, it's because you are so hardened through being occupied with the things of this world. It's like soil that is just packed hard. The seed can't get down inside. So what you have to do, you have to break up that hard ground. And you have to just stay there and meditate on this until it eventually penetrates you. This is really not hard. God is for you. God is a good God. God loves you and wants relationship with you more than you want relationship with Him. I really believe that with all of my heart. And so it's not a really a matter of us pursuing God and getting God to turn and reveal His love. God has been pursuing you. God sent His Son to this earth pursuing us. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit is left here on the earth, and the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to show us these truths, lead us into all truth, to bring these things to our remembrance. The Holy Spirit is, the eyes of the Lord are running to and fro throughout the whole earth, 2 Chronicles 16:9, looking to show Himself strong in behalf of those who are perfect in His sight. That's talking about those who are just seeking Him and their heart is opened unto Him. The Lord is looking for you. He's not hiding from you. You don't have to pursue Him. You just got to slow down. We've got to unplug from this world for a while. You can't really make a connection with God saying, God, I've got 2 minutes before my favorite show comes on, and so you got 2 minutes to change my life. God's not going to respond to you like that. You know what? You need to make some time. You need to, as it says in Psalms chapter 46, verse 10, be still and know that I am God. That's talking about more than just not moving. That's talking about still in your mind, not being occupied with something, not being focused on something else. You just got to be still. You got to seek God. You got to get to a place to where you're quiet and listening before you can hear the still small voice of God. And I'm trying to say to you that God wants to reveal His love to you and show you that He is a good God more than you want to know it. But He's not going to force Himself into your life. It says in Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me." And people often use that to talk about inviting the Lord into your life and being born again. And I guess you can use it that way, but that's written to Christians. It was written to the church. And He is saying to Christians that He's standing there asking, will you let Him in? Will you focus on Him? Will you give Him the attention? Will you unplug from all of the things of this world that hinder us and keep us from hearing the voice of God and just focus on this? God is a good God. And look at the results of having this love in your life. It says in this 18th verse, it says, "There is no fear in love." Boy, think about that. I couldn't tell you how many people come to me, and because they've got a diagnosis that they're dying of something, they're just fearful, they're heartbroken, or they're fearful over the economy. They're talking about where are things going, what's happened to my retirement plans, what's happened to my future, what if I'm laid off, or they're fearful over a relationship. They're trying to believe for their marriage to work and things aren't working out, or they're fearful that their kids aren't going right. There's just a lot of people that live in fear, but this says there is no fear in love. You know, when you really have relationship with God and experience His love, it just kills fear. It's impossible. Again, I've already used this testimony. I won't give the whole thing, but in Vietnam, there was a time that our base that I was on was being overrun. And you could see the muzzle fire of the people's weapons coming up the hill at us. And you know what I was thinking? Man, I was just worshiping God and thinking today could be the day that I get to meet you. I'd been praying that I just could go to heaven. And I was actually excited. And I had compassion flowing out of me for the very people that were trying to kill me. Now, I had my M16 pointed at them. They were too far away for me to fire at them. But I mean, if they'd have been closer, I would have fired. I'm not saying I was just sitting here, not using my brain at all. I was doing what I had to do to defend my position. I would have defended myself. But I can tell you there was zero fear. Instead, there was love and compassion. There was excitement about the possibility of getting to go to be with the Lord. There was compassion towards the very people that were trying to kill me. And some of you think you're weird. Well, I think you're weird. I think that this is normal Christianity. I believe that this is what the Bible is saying when there's no fear in love. You know, I just had experienced the love of God. I knew that God loved me and I had zero fear of dying. Zero fear of dying. And some of you think that's impossible. That's just because you don't know God. Once you know God, and once you understand how good God is, you can be like the Apostle Paul over in Philippians chapter 1. He says, I'm in a great strait between these two choices. One is to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better, but the other one is to stay here because that's more necessary for you. He says, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. You know, what I'm expressing here is not abnormal. It may be abnormal according to this world system and the way we see things today. But if you base it on the Word of God, this is the way that Paul lived his life, saying, I'd rather die and go be with the Lord than I had to stay here. But I'm going to stay here because it's good for you. That's all I'm saying. I had such a love of God that I wasn't afraid of dying. I wasn't afraid of somebody killing me. I was excited about it. And if you think that that's weird, it's just because we have a philosophy of this world more than a philosophy from God. God is a good God. And Romans chapter 8 says that the sufferings of this present world are not even worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. I tell you, all of the tragic things that happened down here, the death of people and heartache and rejection and everything that you could imagine down here. We have something so awesome prepared for us in the presence of God that we won't even, nobody in heaven's going to be grieving over the things that happened to them here on this earth. I don't care how bad it is here. And a person says, oh, you just don't know about this situation. Well, you just don't know about what's reserved for you in heaven. According to Romans chapter 8, there is no comparison. We will not even mention the things that have happened here for the glory which shall be revealed in us. God is a good God. And once you understand that, it's like this says, it just takes fear away from you. Fear of dying, fear of failure. You know, I believe God wants us to be well. But if you never saw that healing come to pass here on this earth, you're going to live forever in eternity where there is no sickness and there's no disease and there's no more problems like that. I believe that God wants us to prosper financially. But if you never prospered financially, you are going to live forever in a mansion on streets that have been paved with gold. If you were to really think about this, you wouldn't have any fear over poverty, over sickness, over failure. Whatever this world has to throw at you, God has something greater in store for you. And see, once you understand that, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. He that has fear has not been made perfect in love. I'm not saying this to criticize any of you, but I know that there's many of you watching this program that you are fearful over everything. You're afraid of heights. You're afraid to fly. You're afraid to do this. You're afraid for your kids to get out of your sight. You're afraid for this. You just live in a constant state of agitation and worry and care. And you can sit there and disconnect and try and say, oh, well, that has nothing to do with this. I'm telling you that according to the Word of God, when you understand how good God is and you really access that and have a relationship with Him, it'll cast fear out of you. If you have fear, it's because you don't have this relationship with God. And the number one reason that people don't have a relationship with God is because God has been misrepresented. And we've been told that He's the one that's causing all the problems in our life. And it's kept us, even if you believe in God, you keep Him at arm's length. I'm trying to tell you that God is a good God. God loves you. And if you would enter into that, then it'd be like these verses I used earlier in this teaching out of Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. That if you would experience the love of God, which passes mere knowledge about the love of God, then you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Once you understand that God is a good God and start really having a relationship with Him, it just causes everything to work out in your life. You will be blessed. The blessings of God will come upon you and overtake you. There's very few people that I encounter that are filled with the fullness of God. And according to Ephesians 3:19, that's because they haven't experienced the love of God. They may know about it, but when you experience it, which passes knowledge, then you will be filled with all the fullness of God. And that's what this whole series has been about, is trying to teach you a Christian way of thinking, a Christian philosophy. I'd like to remind you that today is my last day to teach on this. And so therefore it's going to be the last day that I offer you all of the materials. We've got the album that has 6 teachings in it, and we're offering the album for a donation of any amount. And then we have the 6th and final teaching that we're offering as a free gift to you. If you'll listen, our announcer is going to give you information about how you can get these materials, and I encourage you to please take advantage of them. And then join me again on Monday's broadcast as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's complete teaching series titled Christian Philosophy Part 1 is available on either CD or on DVD for a gift of any amount. The DVDs are made from Andrew's daily television program. Request CD album T1047C or DVD album T1047D when you contact us. The 6th teaching in the CD album titled God is a Good God is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this 6th teaching free of charge. Request teaching TCP6C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline operators are standing by to take your call. Again, that telephone number is 719-635-1111. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs, 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today.
I'd like to remind you that today is the last day that I'm offering this teaching entitled Christian Philosophy 1. And we make the album available for a donation of any amount. We have a suggested donation for it. But some people could not or would not send anything. And so what we do is make each individual teaching available free of charge, one at a time. And today is our last day to make the album available for a donation of any amount. It's our last day to make the sixth teaching in this as a free gift to you. So we have the information on your screen. I encourage you to either call or write, but get these materials. Remember, today is our last day to make them available, so call or write today.
We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Charlotte, North Carolina, September 13th through the 18th, and in Johnson City, Tennessee, September 19th and 20th. He'll also be in Colorado Springs, Colorado at the Caris Christian Center, September 27th, in Colorado Springs for the annual Andrew Womack Ministers Conference, September 28th through October 2nd, and in the Dallas-Fort Worth area for a Gospel Truth Seminar, November 12th through the 14th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. We'd also like to let you know that Andrew's latest book, The Believer's Authority, is available for a gift of any amount. Call our helpline or visit our website for more information.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to come and be with me on September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina. I'm going to be at Freedom Christian Center with my good friend, Pastor Dean Melton. I tell you, this is one of my favorite places to go. These people, if you have never been to Charlotte to this Freedom Christian Center camp meeting, you are missing an experience. Not only the teaching of the Word and the power of God and healings and all of the things that go with a normal meeting, I tell you, the people there are special. Coming to see Pastor Dean is an experience in itself. And if you've been there, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't, you ought to come be with us. We actually hold our meetings under a brush arbor. It's going to be a great time, September the 13th through the 18th in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Tune in Monday for more Gospel Truth.
But we also need a Christian philosophy, a Christian way of viewing our social issues of the day. And we are the salt and the light of the earth. If we don't speak out, if we don't share the truth, well then who is? We certainly can't depend upon the ungodly to sit there and have a moral compass and to understand what's right and wrong. Christians need to be in the marketplace. Christians need to be speaking the truth.